When you talk, you know, it's just like the Adam was saying when someone talks German, if they talk real rapidly, sometimes you can't pick up on it, and when they talk real slow, then they can pick up on it. Well, I'm the same way. I do understand it, except some words I do have trouble. I forget. I do not say.
Okay. But now, you and Melissa and Monica, did you speak English or Spanish to each other?
Oh, we only spoke English.
Only spoke English. And in the school situation?
All of our friends were English speaking.
Okay. And you're at home with your mom and dad?
English.
Okay. So really, and you stayed with your grandparents?
That was really, that was
pretty much covers it. Okay. So you started out with English as a little child, but probably as a little child you were able to communicate with grandma in Spanish.
Well, we used to spend weekends, I mean like weeks at a time. Mother and dad used to travel quite a bit too. We always went on vacation. And we would take a vacation and then mom and dad would take their little separate vacation and we would go spend like a week or two with the other grandmother. Mm-hmm. We didn't see them as much as we saw grandma here. And down there, it was really strange, but we used to do motions and stuff. Like the other day, I was telling Mother, it was so funny. We were outside playing, and my cousin Debbie used to stay with us because Mom and Dad used to do a lot of traveling with my aunt and uncle. And the washing machine and all the electricity started working up. And it just came on, and my cousin Debbie and I ran in the house, and what we call my grandmother, Grandma Cat. And we ran in and I said, Grandma, Grandma, the washing machine was on. And I was saying in English, washing machine. And she kept going, get, which means what? What are you trying to say? She couldn't understand. And I was going like this, shh. And I was going to the motion. And Debbie was going, yeah. And Debbie was going like this. And we were doing the motions. And Grandma could, you know, Grandma was just looking at us like we were stupid. And Monica came in. Now Monica could speak a little bit better. And she came in and she said, machina. And then she went like this. And Grandma said, oh. And she showed her to the door and she saw everything was on. And then she went outside and turned it off. But, you know, we used to just do motions and stuff. But Monica always was ahead of me. She always could speak, I guess, a whole lot more of it than I could.
Express
herself better than I could.
Well, it might have been too as the first child. Now, did she spend any more time down at your mama's house, you know, or with her little cousin?
It's very
more
possible.
All of our cousins
spoke English. They always hung around with, and then
they say kids are very economical learners. That a child will only learn what he knows he has to have. And that kids learn very fast. Hey, I can get by without this. But this is a natural thing that all of us do. You know? If we know as little kids we can get by with it and save ourselves the trouble, this is what we do. And it's only later that you begin to realize, hey, you know, I really could have used that. Now, let's keep in mind, you went to Catholic school, didn't you?
Yes.
All the time.
I went to the first year.
All right. And you graduated from New Valley. Now, there were how many, you know, were there very many Mexican-American kids in the Catholic school?
The only one that was in our class that I was in was one of us.
Yeah. So, again, you were in a predominantly Anglo situation, and most of your friends,
even in kindergarten. The kindergarten that I went to, we were. The friends that I had in first grade are the friends that I have now. Mm-hmm. We were best friends since first grade. And, you know, Roman and I are very close. We are very good friends.
It'd be interesting to know what those kids speak Spanish. Do you know?
Not too much. Now they can speak, I think, a little bit more than we can.
Yeah.
But English.
As he says, like, what's his mama's name?
Phyllis.
Phyllis's sister. Wasn't she a Castillo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, see, those kids went to school with us in Atlanta. I remember that. Okay, all right, so there weren't too many of the Mexican-American children there, so probably you really, like, you know, at school you spoke English all the time, I would think, but...
I never had any trouble coming up to the Dean Valley with communicating with other people.
Now, what do you mean by that?
they weren't
activated against our own kind.
Against the Mexican American.
Yes, they were very, very much so segregated. They were very prejudiced.
But this goes way back.
Mothers that they would have the same problem,
we
they were segregated against.
We were segregated because
we
lived in this
different
country,
so we said.
And we had Anglo France, and the Mexican Americans would segregate us.
Yes.
When I was growing up, we weren't segregated by the Anglo, mm-hmm. but we were segregated. Mm-hmm. And my kids suffered when they went to Medina Valley.
Now, how old were you when you started on the
commission? I was in the sixth grade. I was a junior high. We finished from, St. Louis closed down when I was in the fifth grade. Monica was in the middle.
That's seven.
Seven. Right, and then Monica and I both went to junior high. And that's, well, it was mostly, I guess, was it, I don't know. Well, when we changed schools or whatever, we hung around with the same friends we always hung around with at St. Louis school. And the only time we mingled with the other, you know, school was like during PE and stuff like that. But they used to come up to us, and I'll never forget it, they used to come up to us, and they were very bitter towards us. They were very ugly towards us.
They wanted for them to speak Spanish.
They told us that, be a Mexican, don't be an Anglo, and we will come home crying to Mama. Well, what are they talking about? See, we didn't know that this prejudice or anything was.
Monica would say that they would push her from they would push her in the lunch line.
Yeah.
And then they would say, is she Mexican or is she Anglo?
They would say it in Spanish.
In Spanish. And so I would coax Monica, and I taught her that I want you to go back. When they push you again, I want you to tell them I'm a Mexican American. That's what I am. And I can speak both languages. She says, okay, let's practice. And we'd stay and we'd practice all night so she could say it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they accepted her.
Because
they were just being cruel.
Yeah. I guess, tell me, hang around with your own kind.
Yes.
And I would come home and I would say, Mama, well, what are they talking about? What's our own kind?
I didn't teach my kids French.
I said,
everybody was okay.
Yeah.
You know, as I always used to say, whoever talks to you, you play with them. And so they didn't know what kind. That's where they got confused, because they didn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And between kind.
It was really a strange experience. And then it kind of made us, I guess, turn against our own kind in a way, because they were very ugly towards us. We had, I guess until high school, but even so, all my friends were always Anglos, except for not today, the Mexican friend, the one, the man that I really was close to.
And who would that have been?
Roman.
Yeah.
Molly Maldonado.
And Molly's from the cross. Is she from the
cross? No, she's from...
Where do they live?
Pearson. They don't live out there. And Frank and Alyssa.
Where's Frank from?
Albia? But those were people
from Elba. Elba. Now Elba, they lived in Meadowbrook. Well, they lived kind of, they lived like going to San Antonio.
That's interesting though, because none of them were the other side of town with Mexican kids.
No.
They were all, like you said, from like Meadowood or Molly or Roman, who was
well, Roman and I used to play together.
Yeah.
In the
school, right.
Yeah.
And they lived over here,
yeah.
And they went to St. Louis School.
And the friends that they had were the friends that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And, being that we were such a big family, we didn't need a whole bunch of friends.
That's right.
We played with their cousins.
Yeah.
And Josie was here, and when they came home, they played with their cousins.
Sure.
Yeah, we were always a close family. Well, the Ragosa family is a very close family.
Yeah.
And we would always play
so
together. We were like one big family right here. And Jesse lived right across the street. So we never, those were always our playmates. We didn't need to go anywhere else.
I was talking to Miss Ruth when I was working on another paper about, she said she could remember when some of the outsiders came to Castroville and how they never felt accepted, by the Alsatians. And she said, well, now, wait a minute. She said, there's something you've got to remember. that a lot of these families have been here so long, they're big families, they've got all these aunts and uncles and cousins, they don't, it's not that they don't like you, it's just that they don't need you.
They don't need you.
All of their needs are met right inside those families.
And it's still like that.
And it's still like that.
Because people that are newcomers to this town, well, to a Dean Valley period, Connie Barrow, for example, she had a very hard time being accepted. And we were in high school.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but, well, you know, I guess kids are kids. When you all hang around together and they don't want to accept that one person, you sometimes don't feel like, well, I don't want to be the one to step out and say, hey, come
personality has something to do with it, too. I've noticed now in the past 10 years or so that if the people have the right kind of personality or interest or money or whatever it takes, it's easier. But personality seems to have a lot to do with the kids. Well, yeah, it's, you know, I would choose friends that I got along with one way or another, and others I would not work so hard at. I guess that's natural. Melinda, what do you think are the chances of your child learning Spanish?
Well, now, this is a very hard question.
I hope this thing is working.
You better check it.
Should I check it?
Run out. It might have run out.
Oh no, it's still going.
Okay.
All right. If not,
I'm going to call you all and say, do you remember?
Glenn and I have discussed this. And Glenn said, we discussed it just a little bit. We just kind of touched upon it. He said English is the most important language. First, that comes first. And I agree, because English is what you need to get into school and to get by with. I guess you can say.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said if they want to learn Spanish or they want to learn German, fine. That will be up. Well, I'm sure Mother's going to talk to Grandma. Well, Grandma's still here. But the chance is...
speak to the baby in Spanish? I doubt it. Unless I really make it a point that I want him to learn that.
It probably is very slim, but if it does come down to it, I want the baby to learn the correct Spanish and the correct German. I don't want them to learn the slang. Now we just know
what are you?
I guess you can call the slang.
Hi, how you doing? Oh, they're recording. Come on in, join the group. But now, Melinda, don't devalue whatever kind of Spanish or whatever kind of German is spoken, because there really is no such thing as slang. I mean, slang is saying nifty, groovy, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to, you're talking about a dialect.
Well,
like we say Tex-Mex or Alsatian. Alsatian is not pure German. It's a dialect.
Right.
But there's something very special about that in its own right. The Spanish spoken here is in no way identical to the Spanish spoken way down in the interior of Mexico or spoken in Spain.
Now that's the Spanish we learned.
What?
That Spanish down there when we went to high school and college. We used to
call it Spanish.
Do y'all know Grandpa? Now my grandfather used the correct Spanish.
Yes, he was born and raised.
No, my grandmother does not.
But that's not incorrect Spanish. It's a dialect, but it's not incorrect. You can't knock it over.
No,
you can't.
I guess the reason I do this is because the professors and everything in school
do knock it. They say that
is wrong. Don't you ever use that word here. Because, you
that's
know,
right.
We would say,
that's
hey,
right.
Well, what about using such and such instead of such and such a word? And he would say, no, like, everybody says bottle or car. No such word. It is fortune. In college. You do not use bottle, you use fortune.
Well, that's true now, what she's saying, because it's only recently that with the whole thing with the Chicanos, you know, the whole thing with the Chicanos, that Tex-Mex has really come to be, hey, you know, it's all right. I mean, this is a language for a large group.
Well, it's all right, I think, because it's spoken here and you can get
on. Well, now, see, the mistake we mustn't make is to think that a language never changes, because a language
does
change.
Yes.
Anytime one group of people are separated from another group, or with a war, or with a mixture of people coming together, languages change. It's very slow, but they can change. But that's legitimate. I mean, that's okay. So, you know, I just say, if your child learns to speak the Spanish that you've grown up with here in your family, that's wonderful. But you can't leave it and say it'll be up to the child, because the child won't make that decision. I guess you're going to go, kids are very economical. You were yourself. I was myself. I didn't need to learn any
else.
Kids only learn what they know they need. And like they say,
I think you have to make an effort.
Like with these kids, when we have these students that come from all over the world, if they bring their family, those little kids live in these apartment complexes. And they learn English just like that, because they want to play. And if they want to play, they got to communicate. And the way they learn is fast. And they can teach mom and papa, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to expose the child. Now, maybe just the exposure, like if you speak Spanish to the baby and mom and grandma, that doesn't mean that the child necessarily speaks it. The exposure isn't the only thing. The motivation has to be there. But I do believe in this bit of having an ear for language later on. Like, I never spoke Alsatian as a kid, but I really think that that helped me learn German.
It's very comfortable.
Well, it was there.
The
validation was there.
Then
okay, so you all have agreed.
You and I have to discuss that with Glenn.
Yeah. Well, now, see, I don't know about that, Glenn. I haven't talked to him.
Well, I guess it's because he just, Glenn's raised the old one.
Oh, well, yeah.
Very old custom. He's German. He is, you know, it is very funny, but Glenn is very prejudiced. He may not show it, but he is. See, so, like, you know, we went to the football game and there were some black people out there and he said, oh, them stupid niggers. I just about want to crawl to a shell. I was so ashamed.
Yeah, I never taught my kids.
Yeah.
My kids never knew there was a Negro.
No.
My kids never knew that there was a Negro, a Mexican, or an Anglo.
I saw it. And I came home because I taught at the elementary. I went down there and it was just, they had a student teaching or whatever, you could go down there and help out, and there was only one little black girl going to that school. And I saw her get down from the bus, and I was about in tears.
Yeah.
It was really sad, and this is exactly what I was telling Glenn. It is the parents of these kids that go around and they use this vulgar language saying nigger, nigger, nigger. I said, that's so wrong. But you should saw us little kids. It was so sad, and Glenn says, well, who did the little girl hang around with? And I said, the poor Mexican kids, I guess they were from Meadowood. Very poor, and I said, I guess those were the only ones that accepted her. And I said, that was very sad.
Yeah.
Really? Well, we traveled a lot too.
You know,
Glenn,
sure.
They just stayed in this community.
That's what I was going to say. Glenn comes by that naturally. You know, Judy and I go around and around about this, because Judy's married to one too. And Judy always tells me, she says, when you all were talking about getting married, Judy was a little worried. I said, worried about what? She said, oh, well, Bobby, you're so mixed up with all those foreigners anyway, you don't know the difference. This is 1978. Who's the worry about
it? But the people here in this town, you know, I never even experienced prejudice. I never experienced it except at junior high. And, well, you know, I never went out with a Mexican, and I don't know if that was my fault. The only one I came close to dating was Frank.
Yeah.
But we were very good friends. He used to come over here, and he still does to come visit me. I don't catch it. And when we were going to get married, this is where I caught it. And I was just torn to pieces. And I spoke my mind, because I'm one that speaks.
Well, I think that was necessary. Didn't you and Judy talk, and then you and Adam
yes,
talk?
Yes, Judy came over here, and Michael, I guess, thinks a little bit more in the lines of author. I guess, well, even Adeline has her reservations too, you know, and this just tore me apart.
I think it's funny.
It just really tore me apart. You know, Glenn and I, We didn't even ever find, really, until this marriage fit came up and their parents stepped in. Yeah. Now, if their parents just would have stayed out of the way, we would have never had any problems.
But honey, we're married.
I know, we're married now.
We have a wife
up there. And we're happy. I mean, I love them, don't get me wrong. But
right.
I spoke my mind and I felt like I had a right to, and Adam and I
different, and we never discussed races.
Mm-hmm.
We were here. So they didn't know.
No.
When they went to school, they were human beings, and I always used to tell Micah, Micah came here and said, Mama, you know that I just found out what you used to tell me when we were kids? And I said, what? I always used to tell them, go. And I don't care who you talk to. You are who you are, and you be proud of what you are. I would preach that to them. I did daily. And she just came the other day. She says, I know who I am, and I'm proud of what I am. Aren't you glad? Because it took you 23 years.
It's really hard. You know, I have to admit, when I was growing up, I was very confused. What was I?
Yeah.
You know, what am I? Am I Mexican or am I
American? Well, you asked the question once, and I told you were Mexican and American. You were also American. And that's what I used to say. You're just proud of what you are. That's all I would say, you know.
And, you know, y'all are different. And I didn't know what different was until, well, Glenn and I really, when we decided to get married, he even said, he said, but y'all are different. And I said, why do people say we are different?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
And he said, because you don't have a lot of the values or the old customs that the Mexicans have. And I said, well, maybe I don't, but I do. I don't really know what you mean by that. I feel like each person has their own values. I didn't know that a lot of these values came from your customs or whatever. I thought you picked those up with your family and stuff. And,
you know, he might not know exactly what he means there either, but you know, I'm thinking again what I said before about, you know, because I can remember growing up too. Y'all were different, you know. The Ragosas were always an accepted, very, you know, like I said, very stable family, you know. I mean, you were a real family.
My father was never in trouble.
Right. Where I think they looked at some of the Mexicans, like you said, up on the hill there, where maybe the father wasn't there, or maybe he drank, or they were fighting, or whatever, you know. And it was an unstable kind of situation. And they never put Ragosas and Garzas and Angelina in the same category. It was like two completely different. Well, there's them and there's them, you know.
Well,
and you all grew up with Anglos, you know, whereas those kids really were isolated. Now, I'm not saying it's right what they did, because the Anglos were the majority here, and they definitely isolated.
This is where I'm going to bring my kids up to. This is exactly, I'm bringing my kids up, like I was waiting for, we were brought up. And Glenn said, yes, he agreed totally. He said that mom and dad were very good parents. They brought us up the right way, the Christian way.
Yeah.
And that's the way I'm going to bring my kids up. If they want to have white friends, if they want to have Spanish friends, if they want to have black friends, Chinese friends, whatever kind of friends they want to have. You know, see, Glenn still can't, you know, black. I had some black college friends, and black just, I guess, I don't know, just something to Glenn, he just, it's just something in him, but it was, he'll change though.
They had a home, very possibly.
Yes,
and not having to mix with anybody else. What most of them, I never saw a black kid till I went to college, you know. So a lot of kids here have never had people with
that. They're not used to it. And see, we did a lot of traveling, so we saw all different kinds of races. Daddy was one that always believed in going out and seeing.
Okay, let me ask you something else then. Do you know who you are now? Are you Mexican?
Yes, I am Mexican-American. I am a Mexican-American, and I don't like to be compared to no one. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's an Anglo. That's one thing that I'm still very bitter about. And it's because of this thing that everybody's saying you're different. And that's why I told Glenn, I will bring my kids up the way I was brought up. And I will tell them the only difference is skin color. If there is no difference, the person inside is the same person as I am inside. That has nothing to do with
I'm going
to
have them get off for a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm going to be going a little bit anyway.
Thank you, Gary. Like me, I'm gonna, can I talk to you?
Sure, go ahead.
Melinda, I've been among so many nationalities up north. Okay, I'm gonna tell you one thing. I have prejudice, honey. God forgive me. In one sense, I could never see one of my kids marry a black person.
Well, I am
And that's being prejudiced.
Yes.
And I love them. Angie called and told me the other day, Mom, Marie wants to come over. This is a black kid that knows my daughter since they were little. And she called me Mama. Honest. Mm-hmm. That's the way that we are over there. Yeah. You know, there's no prejudice. Only there is, and there yet there isn't. They used to go to school together. They lived quite a ways, but the girl used to come over to the house. Now she wants to come, and Angie said, Mama, Marie insists to go and see you. What can I do? I said, well, honey, tell her we can entertain her here in Castroville because there is, you know, the
well,
way.
Not about I said, but
she can come. I said, I don't care what they think. Sounds funny. I mean, I don't care. I'm raised, you know, since I was 16 up north. I'm very funny. I don't see no prejudice, but I see it, and I don't, doesn't bother me. I said, just bring her. I said, and that's that. I said, nobody will say nothing. I said, will you? Kids were, you know, I raised them like Carrie. I never told her this, that, and that, but yet there is.
Well,
I could never see one of my kids marry a black man, so that's being prejudiced, too. I'm going to tell you right out. I am prejudiced,
you know,
because they're going to suffer. It's not the color they're going
to land. I did this one, and I don't recommend it to anybody, so I'm not even going to tell you how I did it. It was awful. Hours and hours to do that one. And do you know Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day? Okay, now this is an easy one to do. Xerox it and highlight it with color. Glue it on. It's great. No copyright laws. Yeah,
okay.
Right here. Okay. And my artist again, Tanya Woodley. Can you remind me?
The Dairy Queen or the Burger Chef or whatever it is,
If you ran 10 books, you'd get a hamburger. An ice cream cone or something.
Do they have to read their age level?
Yes, they do.
Yes. That's what's hard when you don't have a children's librarian.
Special services. If the parent comes in and says my child is in special services, then he reads on his level.
Whenever a child completed his required amount of books, they gave him a ticket, several levels. The big Slurpee, some people call them.
Yeah.
Something else, but anyway, Slurpee just sound.
Yeah.
The big one.
all kinds of prizes they can get. Just for participating.
For older children are so ready.
Now, there are some handouts and some things in your handbook, but we're running short of time, so I'm going to go through this very quickly.
Do we have time for this?
If we could. If we could, this is programming. This is programming. Be friendly. Our 7th grade history class worked up a little brochure on liberty, and they took did a tremendous amount of work, and it's a shame not to show stuff like that, but we let them show it in our library. It is tremendous. The ladies of the Aruba
the fire department had a poster fund.
Yes, and we displayed all the winners in the library.
Oh. One of them said, do not pull your fire baton in the house. Collage Corner, this has been very successful. They really appreciate this.
How many times? That's terrible. Stacks of magazines. This is programming. They didn't do anything but register it in the library, but they've got some sports fans in the library that have never been in there before.
The high school students.
Your better English students get to go to the adult. How about this? Clear out the middle of the library, have a dance, let them know they're welcome. They can do whatever they want to in the library. We love them all.
This is a Houston area system printed
out this little booklet, Outstanding Fiction for College Bound Students. It's all one of the biggest problems I had in my
library. How many of you have the mothers coming in, bringing their hands?
Oh, what are we going to ask you what we're going to do if they're not doing it? Well, this certainly cut down on the embarrassment of all of us. Love and marriage. Oh, this makes a lot of difference.
And my very talented artist.
Oh, this is really programming. This lady right here, she had never been in the library before,
but she learned to do handicrafts and trying to talk about small handicraft classes in the library. That could be all.
You might do a story time
on your pet, and then our new young vet in town.
We got a film from Houston Country Library on pet care, and we see rocks.
And you have we have a handout on this, and yours. See rocks, the front page, and do a page up, and you can fit things together, and make your flyers.
We had this on a Thursday, and circulation during the summer was averaging 325.
On this Thursday, we checked out 434 books. Parents waiting for their children to get through with the program.
this was one of the most ambitious programs we've done. I've been trying to find out where on earth I read about this, but there was some material available on a babysitting program, and finding babysitters, you been through that sometimes, really can be a problem, and you wonder, well, are they really qualified? Baptist Memorial Hospital in Kansas City, somewhere I read that had the material and plans for a babysitting course. So I wrote for it and kept giving it, oh, you need babysitters. Wouldn't you like to see the library offer this? Why don't you help us work this up? 2 years this bounced back and forth from a friend
back to the library. Nobody wanted to do it. And then I found Kathy Curran, and she says, yes, I'll do the program for you. I'll work it up. She put it all together. She got a doctor, a fireman, a policeman, and she was a mother and a craftsperson. And Joan, who is in another age in the library science school, did a babysitting bibliography.
Annotating. First one we've ever done annotating. Beautiful. And then this is our little textbook
on the babysitting course. And here are some of our publicity that we had and little signs.
Get on the front page if you can, even if it's just a few lines.
You see, this is on the front page of the paper. Sometimes just a few lines is more important than a great long.
I'm interested, you have that 20.
Well, all it out.
Now, in our handout,
we have a list of sources for free information on babysitting. And the our chairman prepared this little folder. All of this was free. On this side was all the information that we had prepared. On the lecture page,
underwrote the training of this hall. And our class person that we had, who was a kindergarten teacher and very enthusiastic about the library's program,
had some children come
and show what they would do if they were babysitting, creating babysitting with children, for how they entertain the children. She was
there. And here are some of the little things they made. But it was a delightful program. The children had many questions to ask, and they learned a great deal, and they all received it as a paper.
Now, in that program, in the last few days, the lady who worked up this program for us
went everywhere. I think the Red Cross had the program. Houston Public Library was having a program at the time. She went to everybody that she'd ever heard of that had put on a babysitting program. And just a few days before we did ours, we discovered that the National Safety Council has a complete thing. For $1.74, they do the whole schmear for the text. Everything you need is right here. It's terrific. And that's what we do. Oh, and here are a few more.